to you by Penguin.
Talking Heads. Written and read by Shane O'Mara.
Introduction. What Henry taught us. In the early 1930s, a young boy had a bicycle accident. Except perhaps he didn't. He might have fallen from his own bicycle. He might have been hit by someone else on a bicycle. He might have lost consciousness. Or he might not have. The records are not clear. The records are also unclear on his age. He was, perhaps, 6 or 7 years old. We do know that this accident happened, or didn't happen, in his hometown of Hartford, Connecticut, in the United States. The particulars can only be partially reconstructed. Everyone's memories of the incident are vague and lost to time. The boy's medical records are equally vague, but X-rays from the time don't show any obvious brain injury. And yet, when he was 10, his epileptic fits started. Doctors wondered if these had anything to do with the bicycle incident, but as it was unclear what, if anything, had happened, no one could say for sure. The occasional epileptic fits he suffered were mild at first, but increased in frequency and severity over the course of his teenage years. The drug treatments available at the time didn't work, and his fits got worse as he grew older. At this time, there was a little medical evidence to suggest that some forms of epilepsy could be controlled, or even abolished, by surgically removing a piece of brain tissue a bit larger than your middle finger. The hippocampal formation, about 3 or 4 centimetres from the skull, running approximately from the tip of your ear to your temple. Thinking at the time suggested that this part of the brain most likely had a role in smell, and perhaps also an unspecified role in emotion. Perhaps, therefore, this was not really an important part of the brain, given the few things it seemed to be involved in. The boy, by now a man aged 27, underwent an operation his surgeon described as, frankly, experimental, for the surgeon had no idea if it would succeed in relieving the man's epileptic fits. The operation was performed on both sides of his brain, bilaterally, and the hippocampal formation was excised, along with some additional tissue, the amygdala. Some limited damage also occurred to one part of his frontal lobe. The outcome of this, frankly experimental operation was remarkable. The man obtained almost immediate relief from his epileptic fitting, and his medication was substantially reduced. Moreover, his IQ remained normal, and, in fact, seemed to rise slightly in the months after the operation, presumably because he was no longer taking powerful sedative drugs in an attempt to control his epilepsy. His general cognitive function did not change. That is to say, his ability to think, to turn something over in his mind, to recall old memories, to deliberately pay attention to something. All of these and related things seemed normal. His short-term memory also appeared normal. He could repeat back telephone numbers he had just heard, for example. But he couldn't learn a new telephone number off by heart to recall it on a later occasion. It became obvious that something was awry. The man seemed to have great trouble recalling new things that he had encountered in the course of his daily life. His memory for the events of his daily life after the operation was lost, all because of the removal of 2 small pieces of brain tissue. This failed operation pointed clearly to a brain region intimately involved in everyday learning and memory. This man was to become the most tested patient in history, meeting a large number of scientists whose identities remained opaque to him over the many years of psychological testing. He seemed to suffer from the most acute and profound case of amnesia, or loss of memory, ever recorded in the scientific literature. And this loss of memory did not recover through the next half century of the man's life. The loss of memory was so devastating that he had to live in a protected community with carers, for he could no longer participate in everyday life, underlining the importance of memory for quotidian life. His identity was hidden in the scientific literature behind his initials, HM, only after his
sample complete. Ready to continue?